And you know what? We come to the end of the road. We're all, if the rapture don't take us, old age will get us or something will get us and take us out of here. But you know, whatever how we leave, whatever what vehicle we have to leave in, it's in the hands of Almighty God. Amen. It's in His hands, and I am resting in that, that it's all in His hands. Are you resting in that this morning? Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Well, let's look at our prayer request this morning. I'll quit crying here in a minute. Brother Frank Williams had to leave service today, not feeling well. We want to remember him as we pray. Sister Jackie also, that the Lord would just be mindful of that family. Brother Kirk Sacker says, I had requested prayer for an elderly woman about a month ago. She had a very, very fast heart rate and was going in for a procedure called an ablation. She has had great success and is doing really well. Thank you so much for your prayers. May God bless. We thank the Lord for that, don't we? Amen. Pray for Brother Wade Altland. He's at home with a lot of severe back pain. We want to remember him as we pray today. Brother Daniel Willis, Brother West sends us in, suffered a spider bite and is getting worse instead of better. Well, we just commit that to the Lord. God's able to fix that situation. We believe that with all of our heart, don't we? Amen. Sister Janet Barrett offers this testimony and having car problems and different things going on, and she took it to this gentleman and he fixed it, wouldn't even charge her for it. He used to be a minister, and we're just asking that we would pray that the Lord would be mindful of that situation. He's able to bring people back, isn't he? He's able to restore them. Don't you believe that? Sister Brenda Jones has an unspoken prayer request. Let's pray for her. I want to remember Marcy Murray in prayer. She fell and broke her ankle. Pray for a speedy recovery. So let's remember her today as we pray. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need, something you'd like for this group to pray about, how many of you know we're serving a great big God? A prayer answering God. A loving Savior. Let's stand, if you would, this morning as Brother Daniel comes. Brother Daniel just keeps on amazing us with how the Lord is bringing him along. We appreciate it, don't we? We certainly do.
Bless you, buddy. Amen. God's good to us, isn't he? Amen. And you know, last night, that sermon that Brother Donnie preached about discouragement, he didn't leave nothing unturned. Every one of us gets discouraged sometimes. But I thank God that He takes care of us. I was looking at something this morning on the internet about discouragement, and I thought, well, I'll just read it. It won't take but a minute. It said that there was a former heavyweight boxer named James Till, and he was from Oklahoma. He fought out of Chicago in the early 1980s. He still remembers his first day in the Windy City after his arrival from Tucson. I got off the bus with two cardboard suitcases under my arms in downtown Chicago and stepped in front of the Sears Tower. I put my suitcases down and looked up at the tower, and I said to myself, I'm going to conquer Chicago. He said, when I looked down, he said, both of my suitcases were gone. Amen. So, you know, sometimes when we think we got something conquered, it's not as easy as we think. Amen. That's why we have to put it in the hands of God. But, you know, even in my situation, in your situation, God's more than able to take care of our needs. Amen. Let's pray over these requests this morning. Heavenly Father, oh, I just love you so much, Lord. Thank you for giving me up this morning, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the beautiful sunshine outside. Thank you for the service last night, just how you touched my heart. And Heavenly Father, I pray today again that you'll move in this service, that your Holy Ghost will just move among the people, God, to heal, to save, to deliver every request. You hear each one of them. God, from the least to the greatest, God, you are more than able to take care of us. We commit ourselves into your hands. We pray for our pastor today, Brother Donnie. God, that you'll just anoint his lips. Oh, God, just bless him in a special way. God, we pray for those that visiting with us, those over the internet, whatever the situation, whatever the need, God, we just thank you that you're moving for us. And God, we commit this service fully unto your hands. We pray now, God, that you'll take charge of it. God, we'll be careful to give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Daniel. Praise the Lord. God bless you, buddy. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering. You give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us in the service today, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that will be streaming, we pray this service will be a great blessing to those folks. Can we say it together? God bless our streamers. God bless our streamers. Give them a nice hand, if you will. Amen. Let me make a couple of announcements before we sing this morning. Just a reminder to sign up in the library. Today is the last day you'll be able to do this. If you're going to Sister Allison's and Brother Mark's wedding reception, please sign up today over in the fellowship hall. Today is the last day. Now, here's another very important announcement. Brother Wes wants you to know this. Please remember to sign up in the August 17th youth banquet in the library. Please sign up by the 10th of August, if possible. Now, children, young people, if you're going, some of us can't go. We don't even qualify to get to go. But if you're going, go sign up. Don't linger it out. Just go sign up. If you're going to the youth banquet August the 17th, how many of you are going to sign up? Brother Wes, we didn't get the message across. Well, I got one that's going to sign up today, right? You get the rest of them and take them with you. All right, they're going to sign up. I do believe that. Remember that. That's the youth banquet. If you're going to be attending, you need to sign up over in the library. So please, please, please remember that. Let's sing a song. Never been this homesick before, have you? Well, we got 15 that's really homesick. Rest of you just tickle to death to stay here and work in the world. How many of you are homesick to get to go to glory? Give the Lord one more good hand clap of praise this morning. Now, don't you even think that you're going to come in here and sleep and slumber on us this morning. You're going to participate in this worship service. This is your 15 minutes or whatever how long to really make a mark for the service. We got a man of God back here that he don't hold nothing back. He lets us have it. He lets us have it every time. Don't you hold back. You're going to sing. You're going to worship. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise.
Sing, everybody.
There's a light in the window, the table spread in splendor, someone standing by an open door.
Thank you, Lord.
I can see a crystal river.
Glory.
About home time. I can see Sweet faces look familiar.
It.
It's homesick and crying. I want to spread my wings for flying. Cause I've never been this homesick before.
We'll see the bright light shine. You're just about home time. Standing at the door. This world is just a wilderness. I'm ready for deliverance.
Oh Lord, I've never been this homesick before.
Hallelujah.
Amen. It's the truth. Sister Tamika Brown, Brother Jason Ron Colley, they'll come onto the platform. We'll have a couple of songs this morning. If they'll come onto the platform, be getting ready to sing. Give them a nice hand as they come at this time. Let's sing a little bit of that song as they get ready to sing, I Would Not Be Denied. You know what? It's like Brother Donnie talking last night. Where in the world would we go? If we didn't have this, where would you go? Where could you go to? We've got the best of the best of the best of the best. And to go to some harlot sister, why in the world would you leave this for that? Why would you even think about doing that? I'm glad God has kept us. The devil would love to take this message out of your heart. He'd love to discourage you beyond the point of ever coming back. But I'm going to tell you something. If it's in there, he can do what he wants to up here, but he can't take it from right there. If it's in your heart, it's there forever. Do you believe that? Somebody say glory. Well, I would not be denied. No, I would not be denied. Oh, till my Jesus came and he made me whole. I would not be denied. No, I would not.
Singers, a nice hand as you're seated this morning. God bless you.
I was just a child when I felt the Savior's leading. I was drawn to what I could not understand. Before the calls of Christ, I have spent my days believing that what he have me be is who I am. As I come to see the weaker side of me, I realize His grace is what I need. When sin demanded justice for my soul, mercy said no.
Says, when you've done all that you can to stand, just stand. And I know that it's hard sometimes to look through those tear-stained eyes and still see the scars in those hands. But just you keep this in mind when hope seems so hard to find, that surely that you've not reached the end. And when the whole world has let you down, Jesus can still be found. You've tried it all, look to Him. Look to Him for the only, when sorrow makes lonely all the day, when the night closes in. And call back the sunlight. So how will it end? Look to Him. I know that questions can, you know they can get so hard to understand, but then, you know, I know someone that he knows it all. In his eyes, see even that little sparrow fall, and he can hold back the seas with just one hand. And he's so big, he rides on the breeze that blows. But in your heart there's only one that knows. The heartaches and all the trouble that you're in. So when life seems everything but good, remember Him, 'cause He's the only one that could. If you'd only dare, look to Him. Just look to Him for the only, when sorrow makes lonely all the day, when the night closes in.
Praise the Lord. Well, glory. Two outstanding songs by two outstanding singers.
appreciate the gift of God in their life, don't you? Amen. Brother Harry, I asked Brother Harry to bring Brother Donnie out with this song this morning. We so appreciate what we heard here last night. Just there's healing in the house. You got whatever you're going through, physical, spiritual, mental, financial, healing is here. Do you believe that with this morning? Healing is in the house. Healing is the children's bread. Do you believe that with all your heart? Let's have Brother Harry sing this as our pastor gets ready to come.
Healing is here. Healing is here. Healing is here. And I receive it. Trust in you. Healing is here. Healing is here. Healing is here. My Lord. My healing is here.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, my healing is here.
Thank you, Jesus.
Healing is here. And I believe it.
I believe. Praise.
I reach my hand.
Thank you, Jesus.
To the heavens.
Thank you, Jesus.
I lift my eyes where my help comes from.
Thank you, Jesus.
I look to you.
Yes,
you're my rock, my healer. I trust in you. Trust in you.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
Trust in you.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to be able to come to a place that no matter what you need, He's here to supply that? Now, it's not like a pharmaceutical place where you'd go or an auto parts place where you go. Well, pretty well you figure they're not going to have NyQuil when you go to Napa and Auto Parts, right? You pretty well figure that they're going to focus on auto parts. But when you come to a church where God is and the fullness of God's word is preached, it makes no difference what you need. He's here. Praise God. Let's read again today, if you would. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15, and then also Nehemiah, chapter 4. We greet you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. Certainly happy to be together again today. Amen. Take us the little foxes, or the foxes rather, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth, and he took great indignation and mocked the Jews. He spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria. Oh, these folks love a big crowd now. They really can turn on when they get in front of the right kind of people. And said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Look how Satan loves sarcasm. Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? And now they're making fun of their building material. Satan knows every one of these trouble them. He knows how to hit you in your fears and your inferiorities. Notice verse 3. Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord Jesus, we bow our heads to the dust of the earth from where our bodies were taken. If you'll tarry long enough, the cycle of life will take us back into that dust. But we're grateful today, Lord Jesus, that we have a promise. If we die, we'll live again. We thank you, Lord, that the great resurrection of the Word of God is here among us. And we thank you for your presence, Lord. So we look into your word today. Would you speak to us? Would you open up that which only you can do to bring encouragement, help, strength, healing, deliverance to the people of God? In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. There's actually more to this verse 2 than what the casual reader would notice. The scripture says, will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones? These are the same words that are used to define the belief in resurrection after the dead. These people were identified in believing in raised bodies. This man was not just criticizing them over the city and over the wall and over their natural inheritance. It was more than that. It was their pedigree that they had received from Abraham, who believed that God was able to raise back Isaac, as if God was able to bring him back from the dead if Abraham took his life. This is one thing that made the Jews so peculiar among the people in the ancient histories, was their belief in the resurrection. Now, they were unlike the Egyptians that believed that whenever you go, that you mummify your dog, you mummify your cat, you mummify you. You have little boats and little ships, and you have all of these food and grain and nuts. And you know what the Egyptian pharaohs would do? They would actually have their slaves. Once the pharaohs died and they mummified or embalmed their bodies, those slaves which served with you in your household, they actually killed them and put them in the tomb with you. So you would have slaves in the afterlife. And you would have dates in the afterlife. And you would have all these things in the afterlife. You imagine when all these pharaohs woke up in the regions of the lost and they realized they didn't need their boat after all. That's right. But the Jews were totally different in that they believed God raised a man's body from the dead. So this was part of the scorn and the reproach of their identification. So here, whenever Sanballat is actually paralleling the type that these people are going to raise this city out from among the dead, he hides in their supernatural belief of believing that there is a resurrection. Well, the devil is very cunning, isn't he? To try to get at the very heart of what we stand for. Now, I read this to you last night. Let me read it to you again this morning in Lamentations chapter 5, verse 17. This, our heart is faint, for these things our eyes are dim. Because of the mountain of Zion, which is desolate, the foxes walk upon it. So it was a significance in relating that foxes were identified in Jerusalem and in Zion, because the multiplying of foxes also typified that the city laid in waste. May I say it's the same thing for a believer that has all types of foxes in their lives, and they're not actually overcoming the foxes, but the foxes are overcoming them. And they are overriding them by their population explosion. And they're taking their joy. And they're taking their peace. And they're taking their courage. And they're taking their ability to be able to even come to the house of God and have a great determination to be identified with the saints of God. It is a sign of desolation when you see a multiplication of foxes in a city or a multiplication of foxes in people's lives. Let us look again this morning by the help of the Lord at this little fox of discouragement. Did you enjoy that last night? Well, there's more where that come from. Notice now in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 19. This is Moses. The word Deuteronomy actually means two laws. Duos, which is two. It is Latin, and it reproduces of the same thing. So Deuteronomy actually is the reproduction of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, all combined together in Deuteronomy. So you'll find many of the secrets of Genesis, many of the secrets of Leviticus, of Exodus, rather Leviticus, and of Numbers, also compiled together in duos, Deuteronomy. So God has two laws, and this is what Brother Bam said that Deuteronomy meant, was that God has two laws. And that is His law, of course, and the law of man. God has the law of grace by which we were given initially, but man chose the law where he would be able to do something. So here Moses goes back in Deuteronomy and he reverberates what God had already done and what the children of Israel had done in Leviticus and in Numbers as well. Now Moses is recalling to the memory of the people of God the things that happened at Kadesh Barnea. He said, when we departed from Horeb, and we went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which you saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us. And we came to Kadesh Barnea. Now Moses, for whatever reason, is like Paul or like other men. And as he rewrites this and gives the same story, same identical situation, but yet he brings out certain things in the retelling of that story that he did not say initially. Now, if there had been some of the people in this day following Moses, they would have put up something on YouTube and said that Moses was saying something different than what he said the first time. And they would have done Paul the same way and Jesus the same way and Luke the same way because they're knuckleheads and they don't have any spiritual understanding. They shouldn't be handling the Word of God in the first place. It'll only damn themselves further in torment later on. Well, praise the Lord. If you're an idiot, why don't you just confess to it and act like one instead of act like you're some kind of spiritual giant and when you're not in the first place. So if you're a dummy, just be a dummy. Just be a good dummy and meet God as a dummy instead of being a dummy and trying to act like you're some theologian. Your damnation will be worse. Well, that was free of charge. Some of you didn't like it, but it's all right anyway. Now, notice here, Moses actually brings in things that he did not say in Numbers whenever he tells the story. I said unto you, you are coming to the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Now, if you really search this story in the book of Numbers, you won't find that Moses actually said it this way at all. I'm sorry you didn't know that. Now, Moses is actually recounting the story from where he's at in this time frame. Now, once again in verse 21, behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee, go up and possess it. Again, if you compare Numbers 11, 12, and 13 compared to this, it doesn't say it caught this way at all. Same way with Matthew, when Matthew quotes Isaiah, when Matthew quotes Ezekiel, when Matthew quotes Zechariah, whenever Matthew quotes Zephaniah, when Matthew quotes him, when Luke quotes this, that, and the other, we'll go through it sometime. I got a big long series lined out, and you'll find out that it's not those that are standing up and quoting verbatim that even have the truth of the subject of the matter anyway. Matthew went into the content of what Jeremiah had to say instead of standing up verbatim and saying, well, say what Jeremiah said, say what Jeremiah said. He was saying what Jeremiah said, but if you take him Greek text line upon line and compared to the Hebrew, it doesn't even line up at all. We don't serve God just by repeating the Hebrew or repeating the Greek. We serve God by revelation inside of our heart. And that revelation will never lead you from what's already been written and what's already been said. Now notice, behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee, go up and possess it. And the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged. Okay, so now this is part of the initial message now before the spies are even going into the land. They hear a series on discouragement. But apparently they didn't listen to that series. So when the men went into the land and come back with a message of discouragement, they did not remember what their pastor had preached to them about being discouraged. Because maybe they thought they didn't need to hear it at that particular time. No, they're going to need it 40 days thereafter. I'm glad our God is ahead of the devil's schedule, aren't you? Now, notice this, and ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land, and bring us word again by what way we must go up, and into what cities we shall come. Now, I want you to notice now who it is in the petition that asks for the spies. It is the people themselves. Now, why would you need more spies' word when you already have God's word himself? But yet they ask for the spies, and God gives them what they want. As I said, be careful, ask what you ask God for. They will bring us word again by what way we must go up and into what cities we shall come. Now, did they really need this? How was it they had got to where they were? Did they have spies all along the way? They did not. They had a prophet led by the pillar of fire. So why is it now they need to diversify this direction and now they don't longer need a prophet, but they need spies that'll go out before them? Bad mistake. Now notice, and the saying pleased me well, he said. I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe, and they turned and went up into the mountain and came into the valley of Eshcol and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down unto us and brought us word again and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. Oh my. And you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us. Here we go with this discouragement again. The Lord hated them. That's why he brought them out of the land of Egypt, right? The Lord hated them. That's why he gave them a prophet. The Lord hated them. That's why he gave them a pillar of fire. The Lord hated them because he gave them a pillar of cloud. The Lord hated them because he gave them angels food. The Lord hated them, so he opened up the Red Sea. The Lord hated them, so he destroyed their enemies. That don't sound like hate to me. That sounds like love. I mean, a lot of love. But notice where they are. The Lord hated us. He has brought us up, forth out of the land of the Baptist, the land of Egypt, to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Notice how they become so discouraged and so distraught. They're totally twisting around the whole plan of God, and Satan is whispering in their ears, God done this because he hates you. And now God's going to bring you out so that he can actually destroy you. God never said that. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart. This is one of the most dangerous weapons that Satan will use against a child of God, is another believer. That's right. Oh, I believe with all my heart. I believe, but. Well, you say but, they say nevertheless. Same thing. And he begins to infuse a little bit of doubt, a little bit of question, just a little bit of something that you're not certain about. And when it does, Satan jumps right on top of it, of course, and he begins to multiply, and he begins to so contort and twist the truth. Now, this is the amazing fact about it. As we look at it here this morning, they had some facts, but they represented the entire story based wrong because of their unbelief. And they merged the facts mixed in together with unbelief, and it makes an incredible, believable lie. Notice our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. Oh my goodness. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. Now let's read the story in Numbers 13:26. Now this is actually when it happens. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh. Unto the wilderness now, Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. We made it back. We've been in the message now for all these years. Praise God. We're coming back to tell you it's a good message. It's a wonderful message. It ain't like the Baptist. It ain't like the Presbyterian or the Church of God. It's a land like no other land we've ever been into in our life. Now remember, the land is like your parallel of your land. Remember, your land is the word of the day. And they, notice now, the fruit of the land, they told him and said, we came into the land, whether thou sentest us, notice this, whether thou sentest us, isn't that amazing? They left God out of the sending. Now here's their first flaw. Listen and notice carefully. We came to the land where you sent us. Where thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. Now here they're quoting message quotes. Because this was a quote that God told Abraham, then Isaac, then Jacob, then Moses. Now here they are quoting message quotes, and they are familiarizing themselves among the people so the people will believe, they believe what they believe, so they can get them to believe what they want them to believe about what they believe. Well, praise the Lord. What you believe is very important, but you better make sure you know what you believe, and it's not just what your daddy believes and what your mama believes, but you believe it because God revealed it to you. That's right. Now, they want them to start reshaping what they believe about what they believe. Now, right now, most of the children of Israel believe this land is theirs. They believe it's attainable. But they've got to represent themselves as believers so they can little by little begin to shape the mind of those other believers to alter what they believe about what they believe. Everybody believing with me? You know what you believe? Some of you ain't sure what you believe. Now, notice this. It is a land that flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Now, they come from the land of Eshcol, which, of course, the cluster of grapes there was so big that they had a great big old rod of a pole of the thing in between it, two men carrying it. I ain't talking about the little things you get at Food City about like that. But gigantic big old clusters that hung down on the ground. Now, notice the 10 spies. They identified the 10 spies. The 10 spies identify the land as a place where Moses sent them, not where God. But whenever Caleb gets to talk, he talks different talk. Because Caleb believes what he believes because he believed what he believed, and he wanted him to believe what he believed. So is that what you believe? The whole thing of life is about two things. Two people trying to get you to believe what they believe. The devil wants you to believe what he believes. And God wants you to believe what he believes. And the outcome will be where you come from. Your destiny is not just about what you do here. Your destiny has to do with your origination. Amen. Glory to God. Notice now, nevertheless. Uh-oh. Here we go now. Now it's a good land. Land flows with milk and honey. Look at all these grapes. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak. Now, you see, in order to really be a successful messenger of the message of discouragement, you have to be greatly discouraged yourself. A preacher cannot preach you into a state of encouragement if he's so down himself. You'll read right through it. You'll know he's saying the right words, but something's not connected. Now, he might be very down, but if God will anoint him, he'll get him to a spot where God can take the gift and preach encouragement through the gift, because the gift is encouraged, so the flesh may be down. That's a miracle within itself. But if God don't do it, then the man will take the quotes and the scriptures and whatever more, and he'll say it and he'll preach it, but it'll never ring through to the people's hearts. So these messengers, by going through there, they were so discouraged. They were so despondent. And when they come back, they are perfect messengers of discouragement. Notice now the words they say. They said, "We saw." Okay, so we see right now then, their walk is not a walk of faith. It's a walk of sight. We saw. They also said, "We are not able and we are not as strong." Now listen to their message and how they got three pulls. We saw, we are not as able, and we are not as strong. They are so discouraged. They become the personification of discouragement. It's in their language, it's in their talk, it's in their behavior. You imagine when they come in, there was a demeanor about them that was so discouraged. Oh my goodness. You ever get around folks like that? They're lower than a snake's belly. I don't care what you ever do, you can't never get them to smile, you can't never get them to clap their hand. They're just so down and so low. Come on now, don't everybody get quiet on me. What do most of us want to do? Get away from that kind of a person. see, their conclusion is based upon sight. We saw. Let's see, don't the Bible somewhere, oh, here it is. Yeah. Genesis 3. And she saw the tree was good for food. She saw the serpent. You see, the natural man goes by what he sees, goes by what he feels, goes by what he tastes. So they looked and saw giants. They looked at the land and saw Canaanites. Joshua and Caleb looked at the land and saw gardens, paradises, farms. Very same land. Don't you understand, friends, in order for the type, it breaks our hearts for people to fall away from this message. It breaks our heart to where many people are doing. Don't you understand, for the type to be true, it must come right into this message. There has to come some that'll look into this message itself, not look into Baptist, Methodist, Church of God, but actually embrace the land of this hour and go into the land, and some of them actually be there for days or years and look into the land and come away with a report. We can't do it. I don't believe it. I don't care what he said. That's got to be that way in order to make you Joshua and Caleb believers really stand out. They looked and saw high walls. They looked and saw big gates. They looked and saw the children of Anak. They also looked and saw themselves as grasshoppers. Well, I guess you're going to see yourself as something in the Word. I don't want to wind up being a grasshopper myself. They looked in the Word and saw themselves as grasshoppers. Caleb looked in the Word and saw himself as an overcomer. So what are you today? A fly, a flea, a gnat, a grasshopper, a dog, a cat? What are you? I'm bride. I'm an eagle. Praise God. Somebody listened to a tape years and years ago from the prophet, said that man called me a buzzard through the whole tape. Somebody else said, that's strange. I listened to the same tape. Call me an eagle through the whole tape. Notice in Numbers 13:29, the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. And the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea. And by the coast of Jordan. So every direction you go, there's people. And here's my hero. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once. For those of you that are here originally, when I came here over 30 years ago, you remember one of the first sermons I ever preached to you, Happy Valley? Right there in that little bitty old building? Able or not? I brought this parallel to you years ago when I was a young preacher. The question is still the same today. Are we able or not? Are we able to take our land and dwell in our land and be what God wants us to be? Or is the opposition too great? Are the children of Anak too many? Are the cities too big and the walls too high? I ask you the same question I put to you over 30 years ago, Brother Jim. Are we able, Brother Dale? Are we able or not? What about it, Happy Valley? Are we able to take our inheritance? I say we are. I say let us arise at once and go up and possess it. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are able to overcome it. But the men that went with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. This is the conclusion of unbelief. it always leaves God out of the equation. Notice what they're saying, what they're thinking. They're bigger than us. They're stronger than us. They're more powerful than us. They're only comparing them to themselves. That's the worst thing you can do. Well, I've tried and I can't do this. No, you can't. But remember, you've got God on your side. They're talking like and acting like, Brother Dowd, it's going to be them versus all the Canaanites. They are stronger than we. They are bigger than we. They're smarter than us. Of course they are. But they're not bigger than your God. How could they look at the same identical thing and talk about the same things? And Caleb come up with this conclusion. And they come up with this other. It's easy to see. They left God out of the equation. It wasn't that Caleb was that much greater. Caleb wasn't saying, I'm smarter than them, I'm greater than them, I'm bigger than them. He said, my God's bigger. It ain't me that's bigger, it's my God. Oh, you imagine by now these guys are turning on the discouragement. I come to this message. I give up my short britches. I lost my youth. Sitting on a message pew with long hair, wearing dresses. Go on back to that old wallowing, you hog. Lick your vomit back up, you dog. Well, praise the Lord. We can't do it. They know our own God. I knew it. Why not forget into this cult? We only had this one man's word for it that he comes stomping out of the wilderness and God talked to him. My mama told me not to get caught up in this stuff. That drink he had on the pulpit always concerned me. Well, you shouldn't, since I'm the one who's the only one that drinks it. I mean, if I go passing it around, you might have something to worry about, but good Lord, I'm the one who drinks the stuff. They brought up an evil report of the land. Look at the word evil, dibba, whispering, defamation, defaming, unfavorable saying. Now, if that had websites, they'd have started websites. We don't believe the sign, or whatever they'd want to call it. And there'd be all kinds of folks going on there giving their testimony, how that they're set free. Really? Set free from righteousness. I agree with that. Set free from the truth. I agree with that. Come on, saints. And they had to defame. Don't you understand? When they were bringing this against the land, they were bringing this charge against God. People who get on their YouTube and whatever more, they're not defaming William Branham. We go right on anyway. Amen. They're never going to bring this message down. They're only beating the air. They're not charging Donnie Reagan. They're not really accusing you and me. They are charging God. The reality is they've got a problem with God. If this man was such a false prophet, why did God testify of him around the world? So now you're the congregation. So we've got this one bunch of preachers standing up, and they're in the majority, 10 of them. And we got this other guy, Caleb. Joshua ain't really saying anything. Joshua's kind of standing there just listening to Caleb. Isn't that amazing? Joshua don't say hardly anything at all. It's Caleb doing all the talking. And then you got 10 on the other side, so they're outnumbered. So if we take a Democratic vote, Caleb is out. I'll tell you one thing, friends, the majority ain't always the mind of God. Ha, ha, ha. You imagine they're looking at one another in their big old sad, mopey looking face. I hate to break the news to you. I've been researching it for years. I can't find no newspaper article where 16 men ever fell off that bridge. Well, I cry with you if you need a newspaper article. I personally don't need one. Well, praise the Lord. Brother Donnie, I've been scientifically proven of all these things Brother Branham has said. Well, while you're trying to scientifically prove them, I'll God prove them. I'll let God work through my faith, cast out devils, heal the sick, and let God do it supernaturally himself while you're trying to study it on a microscope. Amen. I don't need scientific proof that my God is alive. He's here this morning. Praise be to God. I said he's right here this morning. Open up your eyes and you'll see him. So what are you going to say? You're the congregation. So you got this one guy. And remember this one guy now. This guy named Caleb. He's the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, which is of the tribe of Kenaz, which means he's from Esau. He ain't even no message believer. Bless God, he wasn't born in the tabernacle. His name means dog. Well, look at your Bible. The Bible says Caleb was given a portion among the tribe of Judah. That's a good place to put a converted Gentile dog because Judah means praise. You don't want to put him in them dry, high places, they'll throw him out. He wasn't born in the tribe of Judah. He was given a portion. Oh, glory to God. This is why you'll never take this word from a real believer. I wasn't born in the message. I wasn't born in Branham Tabernacle. I was given a portion. That portion came from eternity. Say what you want. Do what you want. This is my inheritance. And I say we are able. We are able to get our inheritance. So let's get back to these guys. The land through which we've gone to search it is a land that eat us up, the inhabitants thereof. And the Jewish writers say, everywhere these spies went, they were seeing funerals. So those who went to the north saw funerals. Those who went to the south saw funerals. Those who went to the east and those who went to the west. Everywhere they went, Brother John, they were seeing funerals everywhere. So they come up with this idea that the land eats up the inhabitants of the people. Imagine every funeral Caleb had passed, he'd say, one less I got to kill. Reasoning. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. Hallelujah. Now watch their story as it grows. All the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Oh. So now their story changes. When they first started out with their lies, they mentioned the great men that they saw were the sons of Anak, which were a grand total of three.
But as they go on their websites
and on their YouTube and, you know, whatever more, the story gets more embellished and more embellished and more embellished. And now, everywhere we looked, it was gigantic people. Now, you do remember Og of Bashan, right? No, most of you don't. You don't know who Og is. Well, Og was a king in the land or in the city of Bashan. This man, we don't know too much about how great his army was. We don't know too much about how much gold that he had. His most outstanding characteristics in the Bible was how big his bed was. He had an iron bedstead, which was 13 and a half feet long and 6 feet wide. I do hope I'm remembered for something else other than the size of my bed. Now, I do not deny this is a big man. 13 and a half foot long bed, 6 foot wide. You imagine that dude let them arms out, hit across that mattress, them feet sticking up out from under them covers about that long. People who are cowards, they look at that and that foot grows every time they tell the story. That bed gets longer every time they tell the story, Brother Dowell, every time they look at it, and by the time they get back, everybody in the land is a giant, which is an absolute lie. So they see funerals. They saw these cities, some of them the walls are 50 feet tall. Pretty good size. Wall. But by the time they got the story stretched, it was plumb up to heaven. And who was it that brought down Og of Bashan? God. So who's Og or Log or Trog or whoever more is left over? God can take care of him too. It depends on what you're looking at. A fearful person would walk in, look at that bed and say, Lord, have mercy, I'm at the wrong place at the wrong time. What in the world am I doing here? But a real believer looks at that and said, it ain't me, it ain't my power, it ain't what I am, it's how big my God is, and I'm standing on the promise of His Word, and God told Abraham, I give this land to your seed and to their inheritance. What's amazing is the way the guys take these facts and merge it into their discouraging message. Now, they actually go to the land of Hebron, which is going to be Caleb's inheritance. There they see three giants. Three giants. But they merge that fact in with the rest of their journeys and make it sound like everywhere they went was giants. Everywhere. You see, all it takes is a little bitty portion, tiny portion of truth merged in with fabrication, imagination, and all kinds of other things. Oh, we're saying the facts. We're saying the facts mixed in with your own ideas. Y'all going to preach on me today? So by the time they got done, they was giants everywhere. Big old cities. The walls reached heaven. Oh my goodness. Og was a midget compared to the guys we saw. We better head out of here right now. We better get back to the land of Egypt. They ascended by the south and came into Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now, Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. So here's the record of the giants. Three men. But apparently the congregation didn't go back and see what Moses had already said. So they let this new message of discouragement get among them, and they didn't pay no attention to the encouragement series that Moses had preached before these guys went down. So when they come back with this, oh, this story ought to be, well, I'm leaving, I'm quitting, I'm getting away from others. I'll tell you one thing, I can't stand up there. Well, I'll tell you one thing, if you've got faith in your heart, you will. You know what you'll do? You'll take your side with Joshua and Caleb and say, I'm ready, let's go get it. Let's go get it right now. Oh, but Brother Tony, wait a minute, we've got to be sensible. Being sensible is what leads you to hell. Human senses. Now notice, Numbers 13:33, we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. Notice, they're so stuck on this. We saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight. And so were we in their sight as grasshoppers. Fact checkpoint. So did they go up personally and ask them, do I look like a grasshopper? Did the people who sitting there listening to this message of discouragement ask them, can I have a question, please? Can I ask you, did any of you all actually ask them if you look like grasshoppers? According to what Rahab said, we heard what God did to you, to Og of Bashan. We heard what God done in the people's heart. Is, don't you understand, friend? The very thing that God's people had done to the inhabitants of Canaan, Satan was turning it right around and making them people feel like they were the losers. They were right there on the verge of going in and taking over their territory. And the people of the land were scared to death. But Satan simply turned the message around on them. And instead of encouraging them to go on, he discouraged them and convinced them they were the weak ones. When the people of Jericho and the people of Ai and the people of the surrounding country were terrified. Do you realize this very day some of you might be this close to your healing? By the end of this day, you may have the Lord God, you may have the deliverance that you've been praying for years. You may be standing right on one step away from the land, and if Satan can scare you with a message of discouragement. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but sometimes that message of discouragement might come from your mama. It might come from your daddy. It might come from a friend. It might come from somebody you go to church with. And you're right that close to your healing. And your enemy, that cancer, is terrified. That cancer is shaking. But instead, you listen to what somebody else said. And you know what happens? Then you start shaking. Brother, sister, we were in our own sight. Let me tell you something. Even if the enemy did see them this way, they didn't. Later the story proves they didn't. But even if the enemy does see you this way, what a place to compare yourself and see yourself the way the enemy sees you. You're going to look at yourself the way the enemy does, or are you going to look at yourself the way he sees you? In his sight, I am holy. In his sight, I am true. In his sight, I am redeemed. In his sight, amen, I'm already glorified. In his sight, I am justified. Or am I going to look at me through the eyes of my enemy? You're a weakling, you're a coward, you're no good. Oh, Lord Jesus. So the people start weeping and crying. Moses dismisses them. They go back to their tents. Everybody wasn't up close to the front, maybe to hear the message. So each one of the men start taking them back to their houses, their tents, and spreading these lies. You know how that is. What if I started on this pew right here and told Brother Terry something? And then told Brother Terry to tell Brother Jim, to tell Brother Tim, to tell Brother Jerry, to come over and tell this brother, and this brother, and this brother, and keep it going straight across. And then Brother Dow would stand up at the end of it, and I'd say, Brother Dow, tell me what I said. No doubt there would be pieces and parts that would be what I said. And parts of it, we would all wonder, where did that come from? Now, do y'all believe these brothers are liars? Y'all believe these brothers are deceivers that are trying to deceive? They're human beings. And none of them have 100% recall. And maybe I was talking real fast whenever I told Brother Terry, and Brother Terry missed two or three words initially. And then Brother Terry, being a preacher, he might have been talking real fast when he told Brother Jim. And then he might have talked in order in Brother Tim's ear, which is not as sensitive maybe as the other ear. And by the time it got down there, you say, Lord, have mercy, what in the world? Can you imagine by evening time? By the evening time come, there was giants everywhere. The walls reached up to heaven. The people were sighing and crying over a pack of lies. Do you hear me? Happy Valley, it was a pack of lies.
Let's go back to Moses now. Deuteronomy 1:29. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be you afraid of them. The Lord your God. Notice he don't say ours, but he's putting them in the forefront with the identification of deity. He is your God. He isn't doing this because of me. Y'all think it's me. It ain't about me. It's about you all. He sent me for you. Look, friend, brother, God never sent Brother Branham for us to make an idol out of Brother Branham. God sent Brother Branham because he loved us. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you. According to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness where thou hast seen how the Lord thy God bears thee, as a man doth bear his son, and all the way he went, until you come to this place. Yet in this thing you did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way. I love this. I found this morning. Who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents in. The original GPS. God positioning system. They didn't know which way to go, but God had a GPS among them, Brother Phil, and God would go out before them, maybe weeks at a time or days at a time, and God was eyeing out a good spot for them. Oh my Lord, can you imagine? Here we are in the last day. That GPS is still working for the bride. God searching out a place, looking for a place for you to set your tent in the end time. Oh, who went in the way before you to search you out a place. Almighty God, Almighty God, with all that he has on his plate, as we would say, to do, and God would take time to search out a camp spot. To search you out a place. This redefines the word camp meeting. So the Lord God went in front of him and said, now where can my kids camp out? This is the largest RV park that had ever been known to man, you know. So they're going around. They need enough RV spots for 2.5 million campers. So they're going around. The Lord God goes before. How does he go? He don't send an Uber. He don't send no taxi. But he goes in the form of the pillar of fire by day and the cloud by night. Oh my, here he comes right down to that. The Lord God looked around and said, where can my children camp? Where can my children? If he does that for them in the Old Testament, how much more does he do for you when you need healing, when you need deliverance, when you need something in your life? Do you believe that same Lord God's looking out for a camp spot for you? Oh, glory. To show you by what way you should go in a cloud by day. So here stands the pastor trying to encourage him, trying to encourage him. Naturally, here he goes again. That same old rubbish. So God said, fine. Verse 35, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers. Save Dog. So call me what you want, as long as God says, save Donnie. You got to read your name and you're somewhere. Some of you may find your place in verse 35. I'm sorry, that ain't written for me. My name is not in verse 35. My name is in verse 36. Amen. Some of you that started out, you're not fit to eat my supper. You've sat under some of the greatest ministries that's ever been on the earth. You have turned away. You are not even fit for repentance. You are not fit to be justified. But for my servants who believe my word, they came through all their frustrations and their doubts and their worries, and they stood there like Caleb of old. They will possess the new body. Save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. Praise God. I'd rather have that said about me than I emptied out hospitals, I raised the dead, I cast out devils. Let this be the epitaph of my life. Let us stand together, shall we? Discouragement. Now think of it. These men were not passing out cigarettes. These spies did not have porn magazines. They didn't have fifths of whiskey and things like that they was passing out. They had a mixed message of the land. With eye experience. They saw it with their own eye. They heard it. They saw the giants. They saw the cities. That's hard to argue with if you're following eyes. But the just shall live by faith. Moses followed him who was invisible. So did Paul. So do you. Can you explain it all? Nope. And if I could, I probably wouldn't believe it. Because as an ignoramus as I am, if I could explain God, he's a puny fella. Come on, humble yourself down here with me. If you could explain God, know everything about God, he's a puny God. I'm telling you that right now. But my faith leads me in places I do not understand. Praise be to God. Here I am, a 62-year-old man. Ancient, old, slow, decrepit. Only those older than me are saying, no, you're young. But I'm still as determined and more so today than when I was 30 years old
and stood over there. My hair darker, a few pounds lighter. And I won't go into your physique, but anyway. In my soul, I believe it just as much. As a matter of fact, I believe it more, Brother John. God's word. I ask you, Happy Valley, are we able to possess our land? I ain't preaching about me and BMWs now and Mercedes and new Cadillacs and new Lincolns and four or five more boats and yachts and this and the other. I'm talking about your spiritual inheritance in Christ Jesus. Who you are as a believer. Are we able? The giants are there. I'm not sure how big the bedstead is of the giant that's in front of you. But remember, the same God who took care of Og can take care of Log. However big he is, however giant he is in front of you, the same God that did this can do you. He can take care of you. Oh, you imagine Cato for all those years. No one there to encourage him. No one there to lift him up. And his face when he stood up before Joshua that day, and you'd think the oldest man would give his inheritance first. That wasn't the way Joshua done it. Caleb had to go out and help everybody else fight. They had to go out and fight over here and fight over there and fight over there. They come from the entrance on the south side and they entered into the south side and they drove all the giants out of Caleb's land. And by the time it come time to get Caleb's land, them giants come back in. So it shows you, once you and I are delivered of something in our life, it doesn't necessarily mean that thing won't try to come back. Them giants that was run out of Caleb's land, by the time he come back to take that land, they all come back. But Caleb stood and said, if there's any man here that'll help me, I've got a daughter I'll let him marry. Othniel. Othniel, one of his relatives, lion face, lion-like, come and join ranks with the dog. I mean, you get a dog and a cat mixed together. Normally it's bad, but when they're on the right side and they're on the same side, it's going to be bad for the enemy. So you got a dog and you got a lion. They went in there and took it. Oh, what did God do? God turned the land of Hebron into the great blessed place of the promise of the resurrection. God turned it into one of the cities of the Levites. God turned it into one of the special places, most special places in the entire scripture. And it was given to who? A dog. Paul the blessed Jew, Luke the Jew, Peter the Jew. What did God give to you, dog Gentiles? The capping of the edges. Paul was able to work in the laying of the foundation stone of the ministry of the pyramid body of the church. But Brother Darrell, God gives us the opportunity of working in the capstone cycle. We are going to bring Paul forth. Not us within ourselves now, but it's where God has positionally placed us by his power. Let me tell you something, friends. It's not just your voices that I hear rallying this morning. Our ears can't hear it. But if we could have heard beyond the curtain of time this morning and broke into the sixth dimension, and if Peter could have heard my sermon today, and Paul and Mark and Luke and James and Bartholomew, you imagine them standing up on the other side of glory and say, wait a minute, boys. Listen what Donnie's saying. Listen to that. Lord God. Listen to what they're saying. Look at them people. They're absorbing it. They're wanting it. Get ready, boys. The resurrection's just around the corner. Glory to God. When they come to their place on the earth, it means we get loosed out of the sixth dimension. We get our new bodies. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Imagine Paul saying, preach it, Donnie! Oh, my voice that had carried over into the sixth dimension. Maybe it was Brother Alan McKinney. Might have been Brother Homer Arnold. One of them said, wait a minute! Listen, I sat in that church. I sat down there and he was a young kid. Look, there's my wife, there's my son-in-law, there's... They're getting ready. They're getting ready.
Brother Branham called and said, "What is it, boys? What is it, Brother Branham? Come here, come here." That's one of them boys that used to quote that quote of yours years ago. These young men will take and sweep it onto the coming of the Lord. He don't quote it anymore. Brother Branham said, "Well, he can quote it again before long because he's fixing to become a young man again." Oh, Lord, children, do you believe it? This is just not just about Happy Valley. This is not just about our church. The whole capstone of the ages is being set down. They're waiting on us. Praise God. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord Jesus. We believe your word today, Lord. As I read it this week, Brother Brennan said, "I might not have enough faith to make it all live." But he said, "I'll never stand in the way of the man who can." That's the right spirit. That's the spirit this message has brought in. We've become so denominated and so organized that if it don't come through our church, bless God, it ain't a move of God. Help us to keep that devil away from us here at Happy Valley, Lord. Help us to realize you're moving around the world. It makes no difference to the opposition. They'll never stop it. Praise God. Praise God. Caleb and them coming right up to the land, and all of a sudden, thousands times thousands times thousands, millions turn against the message in one day. It wasn't 10 years. It wasn't 14 years. It changed nothing as far as Caleb was concerned. Did it hurt him? Sure, to see the people turning away. But he kept his eyes on the end of the journey. Praise God. Glory to God. The odds was against him. The numbers were against him. Seemed like everybody was. Then God even winds up taking the prophet off the scene, and there he's left. Glory to God. Under the inspiration of Joshua, the Holy Ghost. So the prophet's gone. The majority of the believers is gone. But Caleb ain't gone. Because his name was identified under that seal of Hebron. We know, Lord, whenever the ancient kings would come in, and many times a king would be just a king of a city, or two, or three, or four, or five. And each of those cities would have an insignia, or a crown of that city. So a king would come in and take Hebron, and say Ai, and Jericho. He would get the crown of each of those cities. But this crown was identified with a Gentile. Praise God. Imagine he got so discouraged. I wonder how he encouraged himself. Maybe it's from the quotes of the prophet. Glory be to God. Let them make fun of us reading the prophet's quotes. Let them ridicule them. Let them do whatever to us. We get encouragement out of them. Praise God. That's all Caleb had. Quotes from the prophet of God. Imagine every day he encouraged himself. The prophet said, "I'm going to be there." The prophet said, "I'm going to get that land." No doubt a cold would come by. He got the flu and the measles and the smallpox and everything coming and going. It might have afflicted old Caleb, but he'd sit right there on the side of the bed. His fever 103, couldn't hardly even keep his head up. He said, "Glory to God, I'm going into the land." Back off, flu. Amen. Back off, smallpox. Back off, diphtheria. Whatever you are, back off. Oh, God, I pray you would help us to be that determined today, Lord. Help us to be like another little Gentile, Ruth, in the land of Moab. Whenever her mother-in-law gets ready to leave, her mother-in-law tries her best to discourage her. Say, "Go back to your churches. Go back to your mother. Go back to your father. There's nothing that I have for you." But little Ruth, it was a pull beyond her understanding. She said, "Where you go, I will go. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die. And where you are buried, I will be buried."
Oh, blessed be the Lord God. What was it? It was the messianic seed calling out to Ruth from the promised land. Oh, blessed be the Lord God. Hallelujah. Help us today, Jesus. May we get our land, our healing, our peace, our deliverance, our victory. Grant it, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Let me tell you something, friends. After they got their land, part of the great battle was fighting for what they got in the initial onslaught. Some of you may have a great portion of what you may never have a lot more of your land than what you have right here today. But a lot of your battle from this point on will be maintaining what God gave you. You imagine when they got the land, their boundaries is not going to increase. So what did they fight for, Brother Darrell? They fought to keep what they had. As we stood here just a couple of months ago back in May on the Golan Heights. For those of you that's never been in the Golan Heights, first time I was ever there. I never knew the strategic significance that it had to Israel. I always wondered, why are they fighting over it? Why is it such a big deal? Just give it up. But once we came around on the Sea of Galilee, on this end, out this way, and come the road and come up on the top of the Golan, and you're moving and coming up higher and higher and higher and higher until you get up on the Golan Heights. Right over here is Syria. Once you get up on the Golan Heights, you know what's right here? The Sea of Galilee. Every day when the Syrians had possession of the Golan, they would come up there with their rockets and their guns, and they would pick out which man, which boy, which girl they were going to kill in the Sea of Galilee. They'd pick out which person that they was going to take out on the villages that you read about in the Sea of Galilee. The remnants of some of them places are still there. And here they were right on top of it looking right over the Sea of Galilee. I mean, careful, somebody said it ain't no wonder they want to fight over it. Every one of you have got a Golan in your life. A Golan. The devil will fight you strategically for everything you've got. It gives you the sight. Your Golan is part of your eyes. Your Golan is part of your vision. And being able to see where we are. Where we are in the end time. Which comes through a prophetic message of the last days. That's why Satan would like to take your eyes away from you. So we will turn into any other cult, any other denomination. You're not getting my eyes. Amen. We still need our Golan. Let's sing something, Harry, before I preach again. Praise be to God. Brother Donnie, I guess you're about wore out, ain't you? About preached out. No, I got to page 17 of 45. And if the anointing comes a little more, I'll have you seated and we'll go again. I believe it now, friends. Well, I ain't got the strength. I ain't got the stamina that you used to have, but I've still got the desire. I still think I can preach whether or not I can, so don't tell me I can't, please. Hallelujah.
Give me my mountain. Give me my healing. Give me my children. Give me my joy.
Oh, glory. Let's sing a little bit, brothers. Come and worship him a little bit before we go.
I've got to keep pressing on. Oh, pressing on.
Yes, Lord.
We're going to keep pressing on.
Yes, Lord.
To the higher calling of my Lord.
Oh, let's see a touch. Praise the Lord.
Little bride, keep pressing. Pressing on. I gotta keep pressing on.
Thank you, Jesus.
To the higher calling of my Lord.
Listen to this verse now. Oh, Satan tries to stop me, turn me aside. Even if there was a rapture,
you'd never make it in. Oh, but I just say, Satan, I'm gonna prove you're a liar again. I'm gonna keep pressing on. Help me sing it now,
on and on.
Thank you, Jesus. All I can say is it's a good thing Caleb don't live in this day. You imagine him singing that song. Can you imagine him being in this service today? Some of y'all sit there and struggle, try to stay awake. Caleb would have gouged your ribs out. What in the world's the matter with you? You imagine him being here, us singing that song. Presently, Caleb said, man, I wish I'd have known that song in my day. I'd have sat back here in my tent, sharpening my sword, pressing on. Something down inside of me, I'm pressing on. Said, who in the world's that old broke up voice over there? Oh, don't worry about him. It's Uncle Caleb. He thinks he's going to live to see the coming of the Lord. He thinks he's going to be one of them. Amen. That's going to go into that land. Don't pay no attention to him. He's been out in the sun. That's right. He's got a son of man's hand. He's been out in the sunshine. He's been laying under the presence of the revealed word. He believes what God said. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you, saints. You're dismissed. See you Wednesday night. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to keep pressing on.
On and on and on. Pressing on. I got to keep pressing on. The higher calling of my Lord. Satan tries to stop me, turn me aside. Says no need for me to go on. Why do you even try? Even if there's a rapture in heaven, you'll never make it in. Just say, hey, Satan, watch me prove you a liar again. I gotta keep pressing on and on and on, pressing on. I gotta keep pressing on to the higher calling of my Lord. Satan tries to stop you, turn you aside. Says no need for you to go on, no need to try. Even if there's a bride and a rapture, you'll never make it in. Why don't you just say, Satan, I'll prove you a liar again. I gotta keep pressing on. Oh, pressing.